Or today Shabbos, we'll talk Hasidus on this Indian. But first we need to know the halacha. We need to know how to live our lives. And then Motzei Shabbos, we'll try to add a little more. Why it is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu so badly wants the Jews to never go back to Mitzrayim. Everyone's invited. Rav Agon, Rabbi Aaron Yeshaya Shechter, Shlita. And then, if you're still awake, I'll say a few words after. It starts at 9:15, I believe. You can ask Neil for more details. The Torah in three places tells us that a Jew is not allowed to return to Mitzrayim. Once in Parshas B'Shalach, once in Parshas Shoftim, and once in Parshas Kisavah. Parshas B'Shalach, source number one. Right before Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jews are panicking. Now the truth is, without Chazal, without the Rishonim, you would not have known how to read this pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Vayomer Moshe el ha'am al tirahu es yatzvu ruas Yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lechem hayom. Watch, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to make miracles for you. Stand in your place, do nothing. Why? What? Ki asher ra'isim es Mitzrayim hayom. As you see the Egyptians today, you're never going to see them again. Now, if you were just reading that pasuk, and you didn't have the Talmud Yerushalmi, and you didn't have a Medrash Mechilta, and you didn't have the Ramban on Chumash, what would you say pshat in the pasuk is? It's avtacha. Hashem is saying, you're very nervous now. We know that the Geula, that feeling of Geula was not complete until they saw the Mitzrayim dead on the shores. There was always a fear that they could get pulled back to Mitzrayim. We have a funny relationship with Mitzrayim. Half the time the Midbar Klal Yisrael are saying, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So we have this weird relationship where we want to leave, we don't want to leave. That sometimes happens in an abusive relationship. Where a person becomes, on the one hand, attached, on the other hand, it's not healthy, and you're not even sure what you want. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, right now they're panicking. The Mitzrayim are going to pull us back in. Hashem says, nothing to worry about. Hashem's going to do wonders for you. Moshe Rabbeinu is relaying this message. His Yatzavu Ruhus Yeshuas Hashem. And as you see Mitzrayim today, you're never going to see them again. We would say, that's a promise, that's a boost of confidence, not a mitzvah, per se. And yet Chazal and the Mefarshim understood it, not only as a bracha to Klal Yisrael, as something to be mechazik them, but as an azhara, as a mitzvah. The Ramban, in source number 2, brings from the words of Chazal, Ki asher ha'isim es Mitzrayim ayom, lo sosifu l'rosamot, al das raboseinu. Chazal in the Medrash Mechilta tell us. And we know that the Medrash Mechilta is the Medrash on Shemos. What's the Medrash on Vayikra called? I'll accept two names. That's the Medrash Agada. The Medrash Agadata, right, is Bereishis Rabba, Shemos Rabba, Taurus Kohanim. Taurus Kohanim is correct. What's the Medrash Halacha on Bereishis? Trick question. There's no Medrash Halacha on Bereishis because Bereishis is stories. Not so much halacha there. The Medrash Halacha on Shemos is called Mechilta. The Medrash Halacha on Vayikra is called the Toras Kohanim, or the Sifra. And then the Midrashim in Halacha on Bamidbar and Devarim is called Sifrei. Sifra means book. Sifrei means books. Very clever name. So Sifra is on one book. It's on Vayikra. And Sifrei, books, is the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Devarim. So the Mechilta, which is where Rashi gets half of his commentary on Shmos from. Okay, we have two editions of the Mechilta. There's Mechilta to Rashbi and Mechilta to Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, different editions with major differences between the two. But either way, says the Mechilta, quoted by the Ramban on that pasuk in Bishalach, He mitzvahs lo sase lidoros. This is a real mitzvah for all generations. Not only am I promising you that the mitzvah are going to die and you're going to feel safe, but you're being told it's usur to see the mitzvah ever again. You're not going to see these people again. Or maybe you're not going to see this place ever again. We'll have to work that out. Is the isur of Mitzrayim a din in the Mitzrim? Or is it a din in a geographical location? That's a major, major question we have to think about. I'm just raising it early on so we can contemplate as we go. Okay, v'imkein yomer akasim. So therefore, says the Ramban, what's the pasuk telling us? Al tira his yatzvu b'mekom chemeru es Yeshuas Hashem sheyoshi eshem hayom miyadam va'al tashuvu l'avodasa. You're not going to work for the Egyptians anymore. Why? Ki Mitzrayim or the Mitzrim asher ve'isim osam hayom hakadosh baruch hu mitzav eshem od shelo sosifu b'ritzonchem lirosa me'at tavaron. You will no longer willingly have the option to choose to see these people again. So even if you come up with some crazy idea in the Midbar, oh, let's go back to Mitzrayim, wasn't so bad in Mitzrayim. Remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim? Aser. Liratzon, it's aser for a Jew to return to Mitzrayim. And the Ramban concludes his words after quoting the second pasuk, which we'll see in a second, the pasuk in Shoftim. Ramban concludes where it's bolded, Shehi mitzvah be'emes lo haftacha. This is not Hashem just being mechazik the Jews, this is the Kodesh Baruch Hu being mitzava, a tzivoy. It's aser for a Jew to see the face of the Mitzrayim ever again. Okay, that's source number one in the Torah, Parshas B'Shalach. A second source in the Torah, in Parshas Shoftim, what's the context of source number three? Shoftim Yud Zayin Tes Zayin. What's the context? Chevra, what's the context? The context is, more than that, the rules, the halachos of a melech. A melech has certain restrictions. One of the restrictions, right, as Mikey correctly stated, is that a melech can't have too many horses. And in describing that prohibition, what does the Torah say? Raklo yarbe lo susim, velo yoshiva sa'am mitzrayma, Leman arbosus, Vashem amar lachem, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has told you, lo sosifun lashuv b'derech hazeod, you will not return on that path ever again. Od ad olam, like we saw in B'Shalach. Okay, so that's the second place where the Torah tells us seems to be mitzave a Jew not to return to Mitzrayim. What's the third and final place where the Torah mentions this? It's at the very end of the Tochacha. The Tochacha gives right, very painful details, a whole litany of terrible curses that have befallen the Jewish people. And at the very end of the Tochacha, it says one of the saddest psukim in all of Tanakh. What does it say? Source number four. Devarim, Perachav Ches, Pasuk Samaches, Mamash, the very end of the Tochacha, there's one pasuk after that. Ve'yishivcha Hashem Mitzrayim, ba'anios, ba'derach asher amarti lecha lo sosif od lirosa. You're going to be dragged back to Mitzrayim by ship, by boats. Right? Anios means boats. B'derech asher amarti lecha lo sosif od lirosa. As I told you, you're not supposed to ever go back to Mitzrayim. Now, that's what the Ramban said. You're not allowed to go over Tzoncha. If you're taken hostage and schlepped back, obviously it's a terrible tragedy. It's not a violation of going to Mitzrayim. But the pasuk is hinting, again, to the fact that Hashem does not want Jews to return to Mitzrayim. And what's going to happen there? Why is it such a sad pasuk? You will be put on the market to be sold as slaves and maidservants. And what? Ain kona. A Jew is going to be such a despicable character. So much hated by the world that no one's even going to want to buy you. Even as a slave, you're not even going to be worth. You're not even worth a slave. Okay? Very, very sad pasuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens Klal Yisrael at the very end of the Tocha in Parshas Kisa. Okay, so these are three places where you have such a thing in the Torah, an Isser D'Araisa of returning to Mitzrayim. The Rishonim counted as a real Isser D'Araisa. The Sefer Achinach in Mitzvah 500 counts the Isser of a Jew returning to Mitzrayim. There's two main questions we need to figure out in the next 40 minutes or so, and that is, number one, we know that even though everything that we do is because of Gezeiras HaMelech, if someone asks you, and I make this point, I know I've made it a lot of times this year, I'm going to say it again. If someone stops you on the street and says, tell me, why do Jews do X? What is the most correct answer? The answer that sounds like the cheapest, most, you know, cop-out answer. What's the most correct answer? Kadosh Baruch Hu says so. Why do we do anything? Because God says so. All right? I always quote the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, I think it's Gimel Dalet, where the Rambam says what? Afal pi shetchias shofar. But Rosh Hashanah is what? Is Gezeiras HaMelech, Gezeiras HaKasuv. So if someone stops in the street, why did Jews blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So you say to him, because God said so. Rambam says, Afal Pichein, there's a remez. What's the remez in Tekiah Shofar? Ur Shenim B'Shenasem, wake you up, do tshuva. But the real reason is because Hashem said so. And we have to know that. That's the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, Paraches HaLachaches. That, why do we do mitzvahs? Because Hashem said so. At the same time, one of the major things that the Sefer Chinuch works to do, and one of the main things that many Rishonim are working to do, and something that certainly we all are interested in, is what? Why did Hashem give us a particular mitzvah? Okay, so question one. I want to raise two questions. Number one, why is there a mitzvah not to go back to Mitzrayim? Okay, again, we'll talk it out more about Motzei Shabbos for those who are able to join us. But why? What's the right? Pashup Shah, why does Hashem have so against going back to Mitzrayim? What's wrong with Mitzrayim? No, Tzvika, what's wrong with Mitzrayim? Okay, that's the first question. And the second question we have to figure out is what exactly are the parameters of going back to Mitzrayim? Can I go to visit? Can I go on a Pesach program to Mitzrayim? Can I go to Mitzrayim for Pesach? Can I do business? Can I do business in Mitzrayim? Can I go live there temporarily? This was a big question that people had to deal with. In the 1970s, right, when Israel and Egypt kind of cut a deal, meaning from 1948 forward, right, there was a long period where no Jew was going to be found in Egypt. But once things sort of became civil, right, so then there's questions. There's going to be Israeli diplomats living on a temporary basis in Mitzrayim. Is that okay? If I'm a businessman and I'm traveling and I do business in Mitzrayim, is that okay? Okay, what exactly is the nature of this prohibition? So again, what are the reasons for this Isser? And what exactly are the parameters of this Isser? Okay, so let's first talk about why Hashem doesn't want a Jew to go back to Mitzrayim. So some Rishonim say as follows. If you look in Acharei Mos, the Torah describes how disgusting and how lowly, spiritually lowly, the people of Mitzrayim are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, source number 5, don't live your life like a Mitzri. It's Erev HaSa'aret, it's a disgusting place. It's a very unholy place. So some Rishonim point to this, even though of course there's no prohibition of living in Canaan, living in Eretz Yisrael, right? But we're told not to act like Canaanim, and we're told not to act like Mitzrayim. So it could be. Maybe Hashem doesn't want us to go back to Mitzrayim because of the negative influence in Mitzrayim. Now again, let's say the people of Mitzrayim start to act better. So then can I go to the physical place, Mitzrayim? What exactly is the nature of this negative behavior that we're trying to avoid? But the Rambam, when the Rambam codifies this mitzvah, the Sefer HaMitzvah, Lo Sa'aseh Mem Vav, the Rambam also seems to emphasize this point. Why does Hashem not want you to go back to Mitzrayim? Because they're going to have a negative influence. They live differently than the way that a Jew's Shomer Torah and Mitzvot lives his life. So the Rambam writes in source number 6, V'amitzvah memvav, he, shehizhiranu mishkon be'eretz Mitzrayim lo'olam, that a Jew is not allowed, right, to dwell in Mitzrayim. K'day shalo nilmud kfirasam v'shalo nelech b'darchayam hamagunim eitzel ha'torah. Why does Hashem not want us to live in Mitzrayim? Because if you live in Mitzrayim, you're going to start to live, you're going to start to adapt to that society, and the values of that society are not Torah values. They're disgusting in the eyes of the Torah. It's repulsive to the Torah. So what do you think? So can I visit Mitzrayim based on this? Right? So maybe if I know I'm just going there on a temporary basis, I'm not going with any plan to stay there, so then maybe, okay. That's why Rabbi Shua Bell says, just reminded that Rabbi Shua, I think it was Rabbi Shua of Bells. Maybe Rabbi Sachar Dova Bells, I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Shua of Bells. He says, if you look at the beginning of Shemos, what does it say? The Eile Shemos Bnei Yisrael, Haba'im Mitzrayim. Haba'im means what?
Coming.
Right? Meaning when a Jew goes into Galus, he has to see himself as just arriving there. He can't get stuck there. Once he starts to get settled there, that's when he knows he's in trouble. So Klai Yisrael had to have an attitude. Eile Shemos Bnei Yisrael, Haba'im Mitzrayim. What did Haba'im Mitzrayim love? Haba'im Mitzrayim at the end of Bereishis already. No, Haba'im. We have to stay Ba'im Mitzrayim. If I maintain that separation, so then maybe I can even spend some time there temporarily. But again, according to this, we have to think about it. Would I be allowed to visit Mitzrayim, or am I concerned that even one night in Mitzrayim, right? What happens in Mitzrayim stays in Mitzrayim, heard the expression? Right? So even one night in Mitzrayim could ruin my soul, could sully my soul. Okay, Avi, what do you want to say?
In Western culture also, we don't share like similar values as them.
Right.
If you're going to say Mitzrayim is an issue, dude.
Good. So those Rishonim are looking to this Pasuk, right? So just read on in the Pasuk. It's not only Mitzrayim. It's Kamai Seretz Kanan. You shouldn't act. As Mishpatai Tasu. So that sounds like maybe living under any foreign culture. Right? Would be something that's against the Torah. Now again, it says, don't kimasa, don't do like that. But you're right, what was it about Mitzrayim that of all places on planet Earth, Mitzrayim as a place, possibly, becomes off limits? The tumah there is so intense that you can't even go there? America, the tumah is intense, but a Jew can live there and not become assimilated. But Mitzrayim, it's impossible to be there and not be influenced. Is that what the Torah is saying? Could be. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, the Sfarim explained, because even a Malach couldn't come to Mitzrayim. A Malach would have gone off the Derech in Mitzrayim. That's a scary thought. That's how intense, how thick the Tumas Mitzrayim was. Okay, so we have to think about that. Why would a job dafka be Mitzrayim if, again, it seems that the focus is absorbing any type of foreign ideology? Okay, if we read on in the Rambam in source number 6, the Rambam says, V'hu amri yis'ale, lo sosifan l'shu b'derach hazeod, v'kvar nichbala azhara b'zeh shalosh pa'amim. This azhara, this prohibition, appears 3 times in the Torah. Amru b'mechilta, the Medrash says, Yerushalmi as well in Masech HaSukkah, v'shalosh ha'mekomos, he's here HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael, shalo l'shuv l'Mitzrayim. 3 times we were told not to go there. Shalosh ha'chazru, 3 times we did go there. Against the Torah, and 3 times we were punished. What are the 3 times? What are the 3 major time periods that's being hinted to here? The Yerushalmi again in Sukkah discusses it. What are the 3 times? Again, the Torah says 3 times not to go. 3 times we went, and 3 times we were punished. So what are the 3 times that we went? You have to know some Tanakh. I need to know Tanakh better. I'm sure many of us feel that way. What was the first time? So if you look at Malachim Beis in Perek Zayin, it describes Hoshea ben Ela. Who was Hoshea ben Ela? He was a king of Yisrael, of the northern kingdom. Hoshea ben Ela was very nervous about Ashur, about the Assyrians. So what did he do? How did Hoshea ben Ela look to protect himself? He cut a deal with Mitzrayim. He cut a deal with Mitzrayim. Now, the Navi Yeshaya told him, that's a terrible idea. Don't put your trust in the horses and the weaponry and the military, you know, prowess of Mitzrayim. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Hoshea ben Ela didn't listen. Ashur, the king of Ashur, found out about this. He felt that he was being betrayed. And what did he do? He came and he conquered, right? Hoshea ben Ela. And he conquered the tribes that were living in northern Israel at the time. And of course, this led to what? To the exiling of the 10 tribes, who, according to many, were never seen again. They're totally lost. We don't know who they are, what happened to them. They were sent to distant lands. Okay? Bashal Manasseh and his cohorts, king of Ashur. And this was the first time that the Jews returned to Mitzrayim. They put their trust in Mitzrayim. They went to do business to do... Right now, let's think about that. They were seeking military support in Mitzrayim. Were the Jews moving to Mitzrayim? It's not so clear that they were settling in Mitzrayim. And yet, because they were reaching out to Mitzrayim for support, it was a terrible, terrible destruction for the Jewish people. When was the second time? The second time was right after Churban Bayis Rishon. Yirmiyahu Navi says to Klal Yisrael, don't try to save yourself by going to Mitzrayim. Do not seek refuge in Mitzrayim. And of course, no one listens, right? Because Jews, unfortunately, failed that many times in history to listen to the Navi. So, a leader by the name of Yochanan ben Kareach took Jews back to Mitzrayim, and of course it was a terrible, terrible tragedy there. So that was the second time. After Churban Bayis Rishon, then the Jews tried to return to Mitzrayim. They thought it could help them, to save them, and in the end it was their downfall. The Navi warned them not to, and they didn't listen. When was the third time? Again, the Rambam says, from the Yerushalmi, 3 psukim, 3 times we messed up, and 3 times we were punished. The third time was after Churban Bayis Sheni. Again, many Jews tried to seek refuge in Mitzrayim, and of course about 50 years later, one of the great Roman emperors came and wiped them out. So 3 times we see Klal Yisrael, 3 psukim, 3 times they violated it, and 3 times they were very severely punished. Okay? Says the Rambam, going back to the Rambam in source number 6, Rambam quotes the 3 psukim. Okay? And then the Rambam adds, just like we saw earlier, V'afal pi shenira min advarim shehu sipor, even though it seems to just be telling us when Moshe was standing by Kriyas Yamsuf, it seems that Moshe was just telling Bnei Yisrael, don't worry, God's going to save you from the Egyptians. Says the Rambam, just like the Rambam. But again, it was Chazal who understood this. Ba'a Kabbalah Shehi Azhara, Shehu Azhara. We have a tradition that in fact it is a mitzvah. It's an Azhara. It's a real din, a real law on the books. Okay? So again, focusing again on the first part of the Rambam, the first reason why the Torah prohibits us to go back to Mitzrayim is because of the negative influence in Mitzrayim. Who can think of another reason why Hashem doesn't want us to go back to Mitzrayim? Tamei HaMitzvos. Another reason why Hashem does not want us to go back to Mitzrayim. Reason number 1, you're going to be influenced negatively there. Reason number 2, any thoughts? Don't be shy, Chavra. Hashem said so. Because Hashem said so, okay? Certainly counts. It's the main reason. Because God said so.
3.
Okay, another reason? So some say, very interesting, some Rishonim bring that it would be very insulting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, Kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked hard to get Yad Mitzrayim, Nisim Mitaflos, a year of Makos, all sorts of great miracles, right? The Chazal identified that the miracles were harming the Egyptians and healing the Jews at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, of course, nothing's hard for Hashem. Hu Amar Vayehi. He says it and it is. That's how much Hashem has to work. He doesn't have to do very much to create reality. But Hashem Kiviyachol worked hard for us. And now you go back to Mitzrayim. You were so broken there. You were so spiritually and physically broken there. Hashem takes you out. And you have the audacity to go back to such a place. It's a lack of a karas hatov. That's how Hashem Rishonim learned it. It's disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem worked hard to get you out. And it's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go back to Mitzrayim. That's it. Forget whether you're going to be influenced there, you're going to be bad there. Hashem took you out of such a terrible place. Ba'avdo, it would be like, let's go build a Jewish community. And now again, I know what the svara you're going to say is. But let's go build a Jewish community in Auschwitz. Right? She'll say, what? We're going to go back and build in such a place? Now, again, there's part of us that says, yes, we definitely should go back. And we should build big Torah centers in where? In Mitzrayim. And that would be the biggest victory. And that'll be a key with the Gemara and Maseches Megillah and Daf Vav that says, Lasid Lavo, we're going to turn, there, right, we spoke about it earlier this year, the theaters and the stadiums, we're going to turn it into what? Into houses of Torah and Tefillah. So there's a part of us that says, let's go conquer them. There's a part of us that also says the Rishonim, we have to be sensitive that if Hashem took you away from such a place, Hashem saved you and dragged you out of there on the 49th level of Tumah, you're going to go back to such a place. It's a lack of a karas hatov, it's a chutzpah to go back to Mitzrayim. Okay? Certainly, in Chassidus and Kabbalah, there's another very famous reason not to go back to Mitzrayim. And that is based on really a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, v'yinatzlu es Mitzrayim. They emptied out Mitzrayim. Take a look at the Gemara in Brachos, source number 8. Okay, source number 8. The Arizal talks about this idea. The idea that what? The idea that when a Jew goes into any galus, there's a tachlis. And the tachlis of going into a place where Jews have never gone before is to what? Is to collect nitzotzos, to collect holy sparks, fallen sparks. Going back to the Shviras HaKelim, going back to Chayit Adam HaRishon, going back to things before this world and from the beginning of time. Okay? When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they took not only the possessions of Mitzrayim, but they emptied out, and again, Arizal and Sefer Chassidus talk about this, they emptied out Mitzrayim of any holy sparks. So when a Jew goes to live in a foreign land, anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, he's on a mission. He's a person who's on a mission to collect holy sparks, to elevate those fallen sparks, bring them back, so to speak, and then to bring the gula through that process. Mitzrayim, the Sfarim say, there's nothing there to collect anymore. So going there is a Jew living without purpose. Take a look at the Gemara in Brachos in source number 8. Le'yinatzlu es Mitzrayim, Amar Rabbi Ami, Melamit she'asuk mitzuda she'ein ba'dagan. They made it like a trap without grain. We'll see what that means in a second. Reish Lakish Amar, asuk mitzula she'ein ba'dagan. Like a trap, or like a net, that lacks fish. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Kemitzuda she'ein ba'dagan. Derech tziyade ofos lizrok dagan tachas mitzudos. Kedesh yivo ofos. Right? Meaning, what would they do? A trapper does what? He sets his trap, and he puts some breadcrumbs under there, and then the birds all fly to that spot, and they get trapped. Ukeshein badagon, ein of ponei leha. But if there's no sustenance there, then what? Then the birds don't come. The same thing in Mitzrayim. Kachariknu ha-mitzrim mikol mamonam. We emptied Mitzrayim of all of their money. And therefore what? There's no point of a Jew going back to Mitzrayim to do business. But in Pnimi, it's not talking about doing business. It's not talking about going back to Mitzrayim. There is money in Mitzrayim. There's good money in Mitzrayim. Right? You don't go to Mitzrayim for business. Why? What Chazal are hinting to, and what the Arizal elaborates on, is that what? That we had emptied Mitzrayim of what? Of all of the holy sparks. It was like a trap, because that's what Mitzrayim was. It was mamish a trap. But it was a trap that no longer had sustenance. And therefore a Jew doesn't need to go into that trap to try to retrieve, again, some type of mazon, michya, to get some sustenance from such a place. There's nothing there that a Jew spiritually needs to find. Yeah?
Is there
Chabad of Mitzrayim? Anyone know? Chabad of Mitzrayim? Mendy says no. If Mendy says no, then the answer is no.
Mendy no?
Okay, we'll have to be ma'ayin into that. Okay. Now, one of the most famous Gemaras that we need to introduce now, as we now try to explain something very difficult. Okay, we spoke a little bit about, again, why Hashem doesn't want us to go to Mitzrayim. But now we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is the nature of going to Mitzrayim? Living in Mitzrayim? Visiting Mitzrayim? What part is considered Mitzrayim? Does this apply for all generations? So one of the most famous Gemaras, as Naftali Simcha pointed out, it's Jeremy, for those who don't know, the Gemara in Sukkah, in the fifth parak, describes the community of Jews that lived in Alexandria. Alexandria was a massive Jewish community. And what was it famous for? What was it famous for? It was famous for its huge shul. Right? The shul was so big, everyone knows this, is that what? That when they would daven, you couldn't even hear the chazan. And how would they signal the people to respond? Amen, yesh, mei rabba. They would wave flags. Mamish, a massive community living in Alexandria. And yet, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Sukkah, in source number 10, at the end, two lines from the end, my taima I anchu, that community was entirely decimated, a beautiful, thriving Jewish community, with a massive shul, a beautiful kehila, totally wiped out, totally punished and destroyed. Why? Mishum da avri a high craw, because they violated the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, lo so sifun lashuv b'derach hazeh od, v'inu hadar asu. They went to the place that no Jew is supposed to return. And they were punished for it. Now, why is that so fascinating? Why is it important to use this Gemara as sort of as a springboard to try to understand possible heterim or not? Why do we need to come up with heterim? You know why we need to come up with heterim? Because Jerusalem has been trying for a long time. There have been many. Alexandria was not the last Jewish community in Mitzrayim. Okay, and Alexandria was a Jewish community a long time away from when the Jews actually left Mitzrayim. So it seems...
I know you asked this a lot. Are there Jews now?
Are there Jews living in Mitzrayim now? Mestama there are. We have to figure out what the nature of that is. But some of the greatest Jews of all time lived in Mitzrayim. Chevra, the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim for 38 years.
Sorry.
The Radbaz. Rabbi David Ben Zimmer was born in Spain. The Radbaz was the chief rabbi of Mitzrayim for 40 years. It was only very late in his life. He was in his 90s, I think, when he came to Yerushalayim. We'll see his own words in a few minutes. Right? Rav Avadya Yosef. Haham Avadya Yosef. Zecher Tzaddik B'Kadosh Levracha. Lived in Mitzrayim. Read the article biography that came out a little while ago. It describes. He was very tempted to go there because of the good sfarim, the good libraries that they have. And of course, Chacham Avadya has to know and did know every sefer under the sun. Okay? So there were great tzaddikim, there were great flourishing Jewish communities throughout history in Mitzrayim. So we need to come up, what's the heter? Three psukim of the Torah says you're not allowed in Mitzrayim. Was the Rambam living in sin? Can we say such a thing about the Halakha Rambam? On Sunday, for those who were here, on Sunday we had a shiur on eating Karban Pesach with Zman Hazeh. And we mentioned the sefer Kaftor B'Aferach. Kaftor B'Aferach is a very fascinating sefer. It was written by a Jew who lived in the early 1300s, late 1200s. His name was Rav Ishtari Haparchi. Rav Ishtari Haparchi, Kaftor B'Aferach. A lot of it's about Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. He talks in there about a movement of people to return to Eretz Yisrael to bring Karban. That's why we discussed it on Sunday. We were talking about eating Karban Pesach with Zman Hazeh. So in that sefer Kaftor B'Aferach, listen to this. This is an amazing tidbit of history. And the Stei Chemed, the encyclopedic work, Stei Chemed, also talks about this. The Kaftor B'Aferach claims, now, we do not have historical evidence to back this claim up, but in Kaftor B'Aferach, Parakei, he says that he met one of the Rambam's grandsons in Egypt. This is what he claims. He lived, again, he passed away in 1366, the Kaftor B'Aferach. So he lived not so long after the Rambam. He said, I met one of the Rambam's grandsons in Egypt. And he told me that his grandfather used to sign his letters. He would sign his letters, Moshe ben Maimon, who transgresses three biblical prohibitions every day. That's how he signed his letters. Meaning the Rambam was saying, I am living in sin. Now again, we don't have these letters to back it up, to question whether or not this story is authentic. But again, can we say that the Rambam, why didn't he leave then? 38 years, I think they say, historically, the Rambam was in Egypt. So why didn't he leave? Why didn't he get out? He would sign his letters, Ani Moshe ben Maimon, who's over on three Isurei Daraisa, three Pesukim in the Torah every day. Again, whether we count them as actually three Isurei Daraisa, I'm over three Pesukim that tell me not to live in Mitzrayim, and every day I wake up in Egypt. So what's the pshat? How do we make sense of this? How did the Radbaz live there as chief rabbi for 40 years? How did Rav Avadya Yosef live there? How did many Jewish communities throughout the ages flourish in Mitzrayim? So I want to suggest 5 different heterim. Okay? 5 possible heterim. The first one you don't have on the page in front of you. I was very rushed. I'm sorry, making the Maar Makomos. I was busy with Pre-Sadik last night, so you'll forgive me. But if you look in Rabbeinu Bachai, Rabbeinu Bachai's commentary on Chumash, in Parsha Shoftim, you know what he says? Here's what he says. I'll read it to you. Hashem says to them, you're not going to see Mitzrayim again. Listen to what he says. Zo mitzvah l'shah, kedei shelo yilmadu Yisrael ma'aseyim. He says it was a horas shah. It was not a mitzvah l'doros. Those Jews. Slowly. Those Jews. There are a lot of questions on this, Rabbeinu Bachai. Those Jews who lived in Mitzrayim and had become assimilated in Mitzrayim. Now again, it's hard to know exactly what Klal Yisrael's story was in Mitzrayim. On the one hand, on the 49th level of Tumah. On the other hand, Lo Shinuas Shemam, Lo Shinuas Lashonam. They weren't involved in Arayos. And some say they did have Avodah Zarah. Some say there's a Marsha in Maseches Shabbos. It's fascinating. The Marsha says that part of the Shechitas Karban Pesach was not just slaughtering the Egyptian gods in their face, but that slaughtering their own gods, the Jews themselves, had maybe gotten involved with certain foreign beliefs. And to, right? Chazal say, Mishchu, Kechu, Tzon, Mishchu, draw back your hands from Avodah Zarah. So did they do Avodah Zarah? Did they not do Avodah Zarah? Were we very broken in Mitzrayim? Were we still spiritually, internally strong in Mitzrayim? It's not so clear what the story is. Okay? But, says Rabbeinu Bachai, that generation, there's no question, as the Torah says, they were extracted goy mikar of goy. One nation, mamish living inside of another nation. So therefore, there was an attachment on some level. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to that generation alone, you may not go back to Mitzrayim. You're too connected over there. And that's again what you see in the Midbar. The Jews are saying, maybe we should go back, maybe we shouldn't go back. Right? But he says it's a mitzvah l'shah, that we shouldn't learn from their ways. Ulefi shahayu ha-mitzrim nodim umufursam b'chol to'eva. And since the Mitzvah were known for very repulsive behavior, like the Pasuk says, K'mais Eretz Mitzrayim, we saw the Pasuk in Achrei Mos, therefore, L'kach Tziva Lehem Kein, Ve'eina Mitzvah L'doros, She'yesu Rakos of Dir Mitzrayim L'ol. So now, ask some questions. Question number one, Judah's question. The Pasuk says, Ola. It sounds like it is a Mitzvah L'doros. Question number two, what about the Yerushalmi that said, 3 times in history, Jews went there and they were punished? What about the Alexandria community that was totally decimated? And the Gemara says, "My taima I anchu." Why were they punished? Because they violated what the Torah says. So how can you tell me that this mitzvah was only in the shot? There was a horas shah, so to speak. Seems very clear that the mitzvah is a mitzvah forever. So again, I just bring to your attention this opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai and Parshas Shoftim, but it's hard to understand. Okay, a second hetter. Rabbeinu Bachai actually quotes this heter at the end, B'shem Yesh Omrim, but let's see it in some of the early sources. Okay? If you look in source number 7, go back to source number 7, please. Source number 7 is the Sefer Yerayim. Who wrote the Sefer Yerayim? Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. Who is Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz? I think he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Rishon. And he writes there, very interesting, explaining what the nature of this prohibition is. Let's read the last 6 lines together. Okay, take a look. 6 lines from the end. You see where it says, V'ra'isi v'shamati? This is fascinating. Take a look. V'ra'isi v'shamati. 6 lines from the end of source 7. V'ra'isi v'shamati. I have seen and I have heard. Kama b'nei odom tovim shahochul Mitzrayim. I have heard that there are Jews in Mitzrayim. V'niflesi al ma'asamchu. And I have no understanding. How could such a thing be? How could there be Jews in Mitzrayim? V'yesh lomar. So look what he says. Fascinating chiddush. Midichsiv baderech hazeh. What does the Torah say? Don't go back to Mitzrayim. Maybe you'll notice. And there's a lot of diukim to make. If you look, again, in B'shalach and Shoftim and Kisavo, each pasuk has a slightly different nusach of why not go back to Mitzrayim or how not go back to Mitzrayim. So you'll notice that sometimes the Torah specifically says, don't go back to Mitzrayim. What? Baderech hazeh. In Shoftim it says, Hashem amar lachem lo sosifon lashuv baderech hazeh od. Okay? In Kisavo, baderech asher amarti lachem. Baderech there might mean in the way, or it might mean on the actual road. But you know what the Sefer Yerayim is suggesting here? He's saying, shelo asur akasav el lashuv Me'eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Interesting. The prohibition is what? For a Jew to travel in reverse. Hashem took you from where? From Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. It was a long process, many stops along the way. But Hashem took you essentially from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Comes the Torah and says, don't go back from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Again, that's part of the lack of sensitivity to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But let's say you were a Yid who got kicked around various exiles. And now you ended up in Spain. That's where the Radbaz was born. How did he become chief rabbi in Mitzrayim for 40 years? The answer is, Sefer Yerayim says, only to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim is a problem. About Bashar Artzos Mutter. Fascinating, no? V'samach l'davar, and he brings some proofs to this idea. In Source 13 of the Hagos Naimonios on the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, he suggests the same idea. V'yesh teima al kihilos ha-shochnim sham. V'gam Rabbeinu v'chaber atzmo. He says, what about the Rambam himself? Right, Hagos Naimonios is a commentary on the Rambam. We discussed at one point this year. Whenever it says Rabbeinu, it's referring to. Not automatically Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, especially again Aleinu. Whoever, no, Rabbeinu, depends. Whoever you're commenting on, that's who Rabbeinu is. So if you remember, when we were learning a piece from the Beis Yosef and the Bach, and they said Rabbeinu, they're referring to who? The Torah, right? Beis Yosef and the Bach are commentaries on the Torah.
That's it.
Okay? And when the Prisha and the Drisha said Rabbeinu, they were talking about the Beis Yosef. So Rabbeinu always means whoever you're commenting on. So when the Agos Maimonios says it's a question on Rabbeinu, he's referring to the Rambam. How did the Rambam live in Mitzrayim? V'leka l'meimar shetamo v'nei shabos sancheirev u'bilbil asolam. Don't tell me it's because sancheirev came and mixed up all of the nations. We'll come back to that point in a minute. So what does he say? So what is the explanation? Right? What's the pshat? What's the real story of how he ended up in Mitzrayim? He says two lines from the end. He says the only valid explanation that I think one could come up with is what? Is the comment of the Re'im. Who's the Re'im? Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, the Sefer Yerayim. Who said what? Shepirish, lo sosifu, lo asru, Torah, ela bedera chazeh. Klomar, me Eretz Yisrael, le Mitzrayim. But to go from anywhere else to Mitzrayim is not a problem. Now, there is an amazing discussion in the Achronim. I'm just going to mention it. An amazing discussion in the Achronim. What does it mean to retrace the steps from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim? Some Achronim think, you know what that means? It means that you have to go exactly all the encampments that Klal Yisrael went, right, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. You have to mamish retrace each step. That's what some Achronim suggest. The truth is, I'll never forget, I was walking in Camp Misora. This probably goes back, I don't know, 6-7 summers. Maybe longer, I don't know. I was walking on the road with Rabbi Alan Schwartz, Bible professor of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan. And he says to me, I saw an amazing thing in the commentary of the Divrei Shaul. Who's the Divrei Shaul? Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, the Shaul Meshev. Famous work of Shalos and Chuvos. He says, the Divrei Shaul says, why were we talking about this in the summer? Because again, if you're going to understand that the only prohibition to go back to Mitzrayim is to trace the roots, so where does the Divrei Shaul have this comment? In Parshas Maaseh, when it goes through all the Masoh. So you need to know exactly the route that Klal Yisrael traveled out of Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, and you're told not to go back on that route. So the Divrei Shaul says, maybe that's the answer. As long as you don't take the exact route backwards to Mitzrayim, then you're okay. And Rabbi Schwartz said, I saw this in the Divrei Shaul. He said, but really, it's a ritva in Maseches Yoma. And it's hard for me to, there's nothing I can say to really capture the excitement that he had when he realized that it's really, he says, I'd heard this in the Divrei Shaul, I found that it's really a ritva in Maseches Yoma. That's what some Achronim say. And even some Rishonim, that maybe the prohibition is only to retrace the steps precisely from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. The Pashas is not like that. The Pashas is not like that. The Pashas is, some say that the Sefer Yerayim's explanation is based on Hakaras HaTov. That if I go and undo everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, it's a lack of Hakaras HaTov. But the Pashas is not like that. The Pashas is, when the Sefer Yerayim said, you're not allowed to retrace the route, he didn't mean you have to make every stop. You have to use the same bathrooms along the way. You know, and stop off at the same Makola to get a snack. Right? What he meant was, you can't go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. You can go from Spain to Mitzrayim. You can go from France to Mitzrayim. You can go from America to Mitzrayim. You just can't go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. And the truth is, if you look at the Tochacha, remember the pasuk, the third source? In Parshas Kisavo, what does it say? How is Hashem going to take us back to Mitzrayim?
On a ship.
On boats. So it's going to be pretty hard to take a boat through the desert, no? So Mistama, right? Mistama, that pasuk's also being Merames. It's not so much about traveling the exact, precise route. It's about going from Eretz Yisrael back to Mitzrayim. That's the problem, okay? So this is the second Heter. Again, as long as I don't go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, this is perhaps a second Heter that one could use, and perhaps, Agos Maimonides says, perhaps this is what the Rambam himself perhaps relied upon. You have to figure out exactly how that works. If I'm like born in Eretz Yisrael and then I live temporarily somewhere else, can I then go to Mitzrayim? Okay, that's something we have to figure out. Now, there's another very important Gemara that will help us to solve this sugya. Okay, if you remember, when we learned the Tosfos Yom Tos, Hakdama, the Maseches Yevamos, he gave many reasons why Yevamos comes before Ksubas. One of the reasons was that you need to know who you can marry before you talk about how to get married. You need to know the Psulei Kaha, who is an eligible wife and who is not. Where is that sugya? That's in Yevamos. That's in Maseches Yevamos. So Yevamos comes first. Okay? We know that when it comes to marrying people from other nations, from Ammon and Moab, let's say, right? So there are different rules. A man from Ammon and Moab is forever off limits. A woman, right, from Ammon or Moab can, in fact, marry him. What's the discussion? Who's that revolve around? Ross, right? Ross. It says Moab, right? Moabit velo Moavi. It says you're allowed to marry a woman from Moab, but not allowed to marry a man from Moab. What about someone from Mitzrayim who converts to Judaism?
Three generations.
Correct. Three generations. By the third generation, they can marry any Jew. So the Gemara in Yevamos in Source 11 tells a very interesting story. Tanya, Amar Reb Yehuda Minyamin Ger Mitzri Hayah. That's not a typo. His name was not Binyamin. His name was Minyamin. Okay? So it's a nice name you can consider for your children one day, Mirtz Hashem. Minyamin Ger Mitzri Hayah. Who was he? He was a friend. He was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. Yeah? So look what he said. This Minyamin, who learned in Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, Rabosai, Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. The same Beis Medrash, the Gemara Menachos was on Chavtes, as Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the Torah in that Beis Medrash was on such a high level. This Ger Mitzri was a Talmud Chaver by Rabbi Akiva. And he said the following about himself. Amar, Ani Mitzri Rishon. I was a first generation Mitzri convert. Have a look inside, Source 11. And I married a Mitzris Rishona. I married a first generation female Mitzri convert. No, gotta get a shidduch for your children also. So his children, right, born from his converted Mitzri wife, were second generation Mitzri. So who did he marry them to? So he says, I married my children to a Mitzris Shnia. I had a son, I married him off to a set, right, second generation married, second generation. And then my hope is what? Kadeshia ben bini roi levavakal. And Mirtz Hashem, right? My grandchild will be able, Lavo Bakal, will be able to marry any Jew that he so desires. Very beautiful. Minyamin Ger Mitzri, what a tzaddik. Talmud Chaver, Rabbi Kiva Beis Midrash. Says Tosos over there in Maseches Yevamos. Hold on 1 second. Vim Tomer. Lama lo hayamutter Lavo Bakal. Hagos Maimonides was Meramis to something. I kind of glossed over because I said we'd come back to it. But Tosos is raising it right here. Why can't Minyamin, the Ger Mitzri, generation one, convert from Mitzri, Mitzrayim, why can't he marry whoever he pleases? Why should he be allowed to marry whoever he pleases? Because the fact that Minyamin thinks he's from Mitzrayim does not necessarily mean that he is from Mitzrayim. What does that mean? V'aloin Mitzriim b'makoman. Shekvar Allah Sancheirav Bilbo kol ha'olam. Sancheirav came and he mixed up all the nations. So therefore what? Minyamin, who thinks he's from Mitzrayim, could be, he's really a what? He's really an Irishman.
Savik
Dereis L'chamra. Okay. So, says Tosfos in the fourth line, Perish Bekuntris, you know what? You're right. Answer number one, some Rishonim say, you're right. He didn't know that halacha. Perish Bekuntris, Titani B'Tosefta, Sha'amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, his rabbi said to him, Minyamin Taita, you made a mistake. Shekvar Allah Sancheru Bilba Kol HaOlam. So according to this approach in the Rishonim, Mitzrayim is not Mitzrayim, at least the people of Mitzrayim are not Mitzrayim. And therefore, halacha lemaisa. If someone says to you, I have a great girl for you, she's from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, I can't marry her from Mitzrayim. So according to some Rishonim, no problem. She's not really from Mitzrayim. She's not really from Mitzrayim. Okay? That's one approach that Tosos brings. A second approach, Chevra, take a look. Two lines from the end of Tosos. Actually, there's more to Tosos. I did a little editing. So it's not really the end of the Tosos. The end of the Tosos is presented before you. Source 12. Ubahag tirates. The Bahag gives another answer. The Mitzrayim shavu lemakoma. The Nasan lema kosov kitzva. That Minyamin was not making a mistake. Because the Navi tells us in Yecheskel that while Mitzrayim for a period of time was not Mitzrayim, the real, authentic, real deal, DNA, blood, Mitzrim, return to what? Return to Mitzrayim. So therefore, if Minyamin thinks he's from Mitzrayim, he is in fact from Mitzrayim. And he did the right thing. So big machlokas here. Is a Mitzri today, if I meet someone who says, yeah, I'm from Mitzrayim, should I think that he's an authentic Mitzri? Is he also Lavo Bekal? Okay? Believe it or not, this is not an everyday shayla, but believe it or not, both opinions in the Rishonim are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Eben Ezer, if you meet a nice Mitzri girl, are you allowed to marry her? One opinion is she's not really a Mitzri. Another opinion is no, maybe the Mitzri war returned to Mitzrayim, in which case you would not be allowed to marry into her family for three generations. Fascinating that such a thing makes its way into Shulchan Aruch. But how does that impact our sugya? That's about who you're marrying. What does it have to do with living in Mitzrayim? So it touches on the question again. When the Torah says, don't go to Mitzrayim, is Mitzrayim defined by its people or is it a geographical location? Meaning, according to the Rambam Svar, that you're going to learn from the negative ways of the Mitzrim. But if Sanhedrin moved everyone around, then Mitzrayim is not a place of Mitzrim. In which case, maybe a Jew can go to Mitzrayim. But if I understand it simply as a geographical location, then what? Then you can't go to Mitzrayim. Even if all the Mitzrim are gone. So that's something we need to think of. It's a fascinating question. And I'll share with you a very interesting source. It's not on the page in front of you. When the Jews were going to Kriyas Yamsuf, in Shmos Perek Yudal, what does it say? The Mitzrim are realizing that Hashem is starting to take control of the situation. And you know what the Pasuk says? Shmos Yudal and Chafei. Ki Hashem nilcham lahem b'mitzrayim. Hashem is battling for you in Mitzrayim. They're not in Mitzrayim. They're very far from Mitzrayim. They're by the Yam. So what do you mean Hashem will battle for you in Mitzrayim? So Rashi says, Tup Shatim. Rashi says, no, Mitzrayim here means what? Hashem will battle for you against the Mitzrim. It's not Mitzrayim, b'Mitzrayim, b'Mitzrayim. It means against the Mitzrim. So we see that Mitzrayim, the place, sometimes it actually refers to the people. Then Rashi says, Dover Acher, b'Mitzrayim. The same way Hashem fought for you when you were physically in the geographical location called Mitzrayim, so too, Hashem will fight for you and punish the Mitzrim by the sea. So what you see in this Rashi, two opinions. What does the word Mitzrayim actually mean? Does Mitzrayim refer to the people Mitzrayim? Or does Mitzrayim refer to the place Mitzrayim? That's something we need to really think about. The Minchas Chinuch, I told you, the Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah 500, is the Mitzvah of don't go to Mitzrayim. Minchas Chinuch argues that he thinks it's based on the geography. That it's a physical place. Again, but we have to ask him, what would be the Svarah? If no one in Mitzrayim is a Mitzri, so why is the place so off limits? Okay, so you can use the Arizal. There's nothing for a Jew to gain there. There's no spiritual kochos to be extracted from. Okay. So we have three possible heterim so far. What are the three heterim we have so far? Chavra, just to do a little chazara. What are our three possible heterim so far? Either Rabbeinu Bachaya, it's a Horaz Shah. It was only a temporary restriction of a Jew going to Mitzrayim. Number two, what we saw in the Hagos Maimonios, and we saw also in the Sefer Yerayim, that it's only if you travel from Eretz Yisrael back to Mitzrayim. Possibility number three, we have to clarify, we didn't fully work it through, we're not going to right now, but again, the question of is it Mitzrim or is it Mitzrayim? And that could be a possible heter to live in the location Mitzrayim if the people of Mitzrayim are no longer there. Okay, what about a fourth? Oh, so we'll get there. What about a fourth possibility? Again, you don't have it on the sheet in front of you, but I'll just share it with you outside. The Ritva in Meseches Yoma, Lamed Chesam al-Aleph, gives another heter. He says, when is it usur for a Jew to live in Mitzrayim? Now, this might not be a heter today. This will not be a heter today. When is it also for a Jew to live in Mitzrayim? When living in Eretz Yisrael is a real option. There's a Tosos at the end of Ksuvus. It's a big machlokus whether or not was it actually written by one of the Bali Tosos or by a Talmud. The Pashto says, I don't know, why would you say not? Why would you have to say it's a printing error, it doesn't really belong, it's not really Tosos. Right, what does it say there? A famous Shita printed at the end of Tosos, the end of Maseches Ksuvus, that if Eretz Yisrael is too dangerous to live in, so then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's a major heter throughout the generations. If it's not shayach to live in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no mitzvah, there's no obligation of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this gets into the question, is living in Eretz Yisrael a mitzvah chiyuvis or kiyumis? You have to live in Eretz Yisrael. You get points if you choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. But again, the Bali Tosos have this idea, it's in Ksubis, or Masechta, that if it's a dangerous time, and it's not shayach to live in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there's no mitzvah to live there. So says the Ritva, when is it also to live in Mitzrayim? However, when is it also to live in Mitzrayim? When what? When Eretz Yisrael is a real option. But if you're living in a time when there's nothing doing in Eretz Yisrael, so then you're allowed to live in Mitzrayim. If Hashem puts you in a beautiful Eretz Yisrael with plenty of Yidin, then that's one thing. If Hashem kicks all the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to be the one Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to live in Mitzrayim. It's an eligible location in such a situation. When the Ramban came, we have a letter. Remember, I first saw this from Rabbi Simon, right? Baruch Simon. We have a letter from the Ramban, where the Ramban says, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, it was completely, completely destroyed. The land was completely non-livable. It wasn't fertile at all. The Ramban says he had to scrape together, barely there was a minion of people to be able to daven. And he says, and this is the Lashon that I remember seeing where Simon showed me many years ago, in the Kisvei Ramban, in a letter, Ramban used the Lashon that, kol makudosh mechavero, whatever is more elevated, potentially elevated, has the potential to experience the greatest chorban. The Ramban says, I never saw a land as desolate as Eretz Yisrael looked in the times that I was there. Because the potential for such kedusha, when it's not actualized, becomes such chorban. So do I have to go live in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Mitzrayim? If Mitzrayim is a flourishing Jewish community and Eretz Yisrael doesn't, says the Ritva, a fourth possible heter, if Eretz Yisrael is not an option, so then Mitzrayim is permitted. It's only when Eretz Yisrael is a realistic option that one's told not to live in Mitzrayim. Okay, a fifth and final heter, and with this we'll wrap up. Let's read the words of the Radbaz. Now again, why is it interesting? Source 15, why is it interesting to read the words of the Radbaz and the Rambam? Because the Rambam, as I told you, was born in Spain, Rabbi David ben Zimra. And where did he live? Mitzrayim. He was chief rabbi of Mitzrayim for 40 years. So not only does he have to grapple with the Rambam, who lived in Mitzrayim, but he has to grapple with himself. Take a look at source 14. What does the Rambam write? You would think the Rambam probably knew one of these heterim. The Rambam says Kipshuto in source 14. Hilchos Malachim Parakei. Mutter lishchon b'chol ha'olam chutz mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. And that's why the Kaftar Aferach said the Rambam signed his letters, I, Moshe ben Maimon, violate three psukim every single day of my life. So what was the answer? The Rambam, so why did he leave? So the Rambam doesn't tell us. But the Radbaz does. He explains for the Rambam and he explains for himself. Yeah, Neil.
Oh, for the Ritva, why doesn't that Eretz Yisrael can live elsewhere?
Can live anywhere.
Because
again, it's part of this idea. Don't return by that path. It's a part of that idea of a kar satov. If Eretz Yisrael is an option, halavai should be for all of us. So then, right. But if otherwise, Mitzrayim is no different than living anywhere else. Okay? Okay, let's wrap up with the Radbaz. The Radbaz writes in Source 15. According to the Rambam, you're allowed to live anywhere in the world except Mitzrayim. Bim Tomar, Alma Samchu Lishchon B'Mitzrayim. How did the Rambam himself, and how did so many Jewish communities flourish in Mitzrayim? V'yesh Mishakasim Shalo Asura Torah Ela B'Derech Hazeh. We saw that was the Sefer Yireim, the Gos Maimonios brought it. V'ein Zetam Maspik. But says the Radbaz, I don't buy it. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Lo Sashu B'Derech Hazeh Od. Right? So that pasuk that says don't go on this path, okay. So I can work out the pasuk that mentions going on a particular derech. What about the other pasukim? Aval hanach kray tichsev lo so sifur lo osam od, where the Torah b'shalach does not say any particular derech. It sounds like you're never allowed to go to Mitzrayim. It's not only based on a particular route. So ma'ikalameimar. So he says in the fourth line, V'yesh liten tam. Shelo asra Torah ela leired lagursha mulishtakeya. A Jew is not allowed to get stuck in Mitzrayim. To visit in Mitzrayim, to do business in Mitzrayim, he quotes the Yerushalmi, liyeshiva iatachozer. Aval atachozer leschora leprakmatio lekiva sha'aretz. If you need to go to Mitzrayim to do business, no problem. If you need for kiva sha'aretz purposes, meaning for the security of Eretz Yisrael, to conquer parts of Mitzrayim, and to set up shop there in order to settle Eretz Yisrael, no problem. V'chol ha'yardim tchila lo yardu l'shtakeya el l'schora. So now the Radbaz, this is the part where you have to say, right? The Radbaz says, the people who originally went to Mitzrayim, no Jew ever went Alexandria or Egypt, as described so beautifully in Sukkah Nun Aleph. They didn't go to settle there permanently. A couple of Jewish businessmen went there on business. And they needed food. So then someone opened the Chabad house. And then it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And before you knew it, it was a community of over a million people. Right? So the original founders of those places, they didn't go to stay there, they went on business. And even though sometimes a Jew thinks, I'm going to go to a negative place for a moment and get out of there, unfortunately these Yidden got stuck there. Ein kan lav el yisur ba'alma. To remain there, right? B'shev al tasa is not as bad. And it was almost kilus sacharos nefashos. They had nowhere else to go. They had good parnasa there, so they didn't pick up and they didn't leave. And then he writes three lines from the end. V'im tomar tikshi l'rabenu sharin nishtakei b'mitzrayim. If you wonder, what about the Rambam? How did the Rambam, such a tzaddik, such a gadol b'Yisrael, allow himself to get stuck in Mitzrayim? Yesh lomer da onus haya al pi amalchus shayrofei lemelech ulesarim. The Rambam essentially was held against his will. He was the greatest doctor. We have letters; these letters we do have, where the Rambam describes his daily schedule, the unbelievable efforts the Rambam packed into a single day to be able to serve the leadership of Mitzrayim, who had many wives and many children. So there's a lot of business for the Rambam. And yet, despite that, he still became the great tzaddik and gadol that he was. V'gam ani, now the Radbaz says, and I know you're going to think, what about me? I was chief rabbi there for 40 years. Gam ani nis yashavti sham zman meruba. Why was I there? L'motora, u'lalamda, v'kavati sham yeshiva, v'chihai gav namutter. It was a shas adchak, I had no choice. The Jews needed Torah there, and I took it upon myself to educate those Jews who were there. But don't think I ever allowed myself to get permanently stuck there. Veshuv basi l'Yerushalayim. And then the Rabbaz came to Yerushalayim, and at the end of his life, I think he was even in the Tzad a little bit. And this is the story, again, a possible defense of the Jews throughout the ages. So five different approaches, what the answer is. Again, Rabbeinu Bachai is Horas Shah. It was never a mitzvah l'doro. Seems hard to understand where the Gemara says Alexandria was destroyed, Dafka, for violating this. And that was clearly at a much later time period. A second possibility, the Re'im. Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, the Sefer Yerayim, you're not allowed to go back on that particular path. And again, whether that means a precise path or a more general path from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. A third heter is it the location or is it the people that makes the prohibition and that could allow one to live in the place if the people aren't really there? A fourth possibility, the Ritva, only if Eretz Yisrael is an option are you told not to live in Mitzrayim. And last but not least, the possibility of being permanently there versus being temporarily there. Again, there were Jews who got stuck there, but even a Jew who finds himself trapped in Mitzrayim, like the Radbaz, we should be inspired by the Radbaz's efforts to get out of Mitzrayim and to come to Yerushalayim. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should all be zocha to leave this galus of America and return to Yerushalayim. Amen. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.